Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Justin Trudeau will be sworn in on November 4th. Traditionally, a new prime minister moves into his official residence at 24 Sussex Drive a few days after the ceremony. Hundreds of people are planning to travel to Ottawa to greet Justin Trudeau as he starts his new job. They will be bearing gifts from around the country and demanding real action on climate change. The action is being organized by people and groups across Canada and is supported by 350.org, the Council of Canadians, and the Canadian Youth Climate Coalition. Clayton Thomas Mueller is Indigenous Extreme Energy Campaigner with 350.org, and he's joined me on the phone this morning to talk about the climate welcome. Hello, Clayton.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, very pleased to have you here with us. Now, planning started on the climate welcome before the election on Monday, so you actually didn't know who you were going to be welcoming to 24 Sussex Drive. What kind of difference does it make to the message that it's Justin Trudeau, not Stephen Harper?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, my hat's off to all social movement leaders and organizers, community members, and the incredible collective effort, including, you know, the effort of those there on the Fresh Coast in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland that, you know, did the good work to get Stephen Harper out of office. I think we can all breathe a deep sigh of relief. And certainly, you know, the work continues. You know, our concern, of course, with Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party platform is that they've made a lot of bold promises through the election cycle, you know, promises that, you know, quite frankly, from an expert's point of view, you know, have been impossible up to this point. I think that we all look forward to giving, you know, Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau and his Liberal majority government the chance to do things in the right way. But the current promises around, you know, respecting the veto power of First Nations to say no to harmful development on their lands, well, in the same breath, supporting expansion of the Canadian Alberta tar sands and its associated pipeline infrastructure, along with promising to repair Canada's image at the UN climate talks in Paris next month. Well, the blanks need to be filled. And so for us, you know, we have a very strong, firm, a series of sit-ins that will be taking place at 24 Sussex on November 5th through the 8th to give some gifts to the Prime Minister-elect and to, you know, ensure that they know that the pressure is on. The bar has been raised high, and we plan on raising it higher, and there is a lot of pieces that need to be clarified before Justin Trudeau makes the move to go to Paris.
Why did you choose 24 Sussex Drive rather than Parliament Hill?
Well, I think that, you know, this is a very symbolic residence. You know, it is the House of Canada, after all, certainly the home of Canada's Prime Minister. You know, for us, the symbolism attached to this home residence, you know, it was a good place to send a very clear message, you know, that we need concrete action on climate change now. We need to freeze Canada's tar sands expansion and unthaw Canada's renewable energy economy.
What kind of action do you have planned for November 5th?
We've put a call out to everyday Canadians and First Nations, you know, social movement leaders from different social movement sectors to come and join us. You know, every single day we will be hand-delivering very thoughtful gifts representing, you know, platforms and protocol frameworks to help the Liberal majority government, you know, meet the actions that we're putting forward. You know, these will include the numbered treaties 1 through 11, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, scientific reports arguing the science, you know, the unequivocally, you know, united scientific position globally that we have to keep 85% of fossil fuels underground if we're going to continue to, you know, mitigate the worst effects of global warming. You know, we've invited people that are coming to participate in the actions from across the country to bring or send water representing the millions of lakes, rivers, and streams that have been stripped of their protection by the omnibus bill legislation of the previous Harper administration, that those bodies of water that communities, municipalities, and First Nations alike all depend on need, you know, strong protections in this era of climate change. And so certainly that is going to be a very profound and powerful component of the action. There is a strong, you know, yet but firm and gentle civil disobedience component of the action, where we will be doing sit-ins on every day and inviting more and more people to join us as each day goes by. So there will be an arrestable component of the action to signify and show the liberal conservative majority government that, you know, the pressure is still on. You know, climate change isn't going away. The concerns of frontline communities affected by the expansion of the tar sands on a fundamental collective indigenous rights level and a human health level, you know, these concerns are not going away. And so, you know, the entire 4 days is really designed in a very thoughtful way to keep the pressure up and to send a clear message to Mr. Trudeau that, you know, we certainly believe that he can do the right thing and we are there to help him, you know, lead Canada into a place where we freeze tar sands expansion and support the investment into renewable energy.
Now, I took a good look around your website yesterday. It's an excellent website. I'd recommend people to go and take a look at it. And the message that I got very strongly about the civil disobedience portion of the action was serious but gentle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly, you know, I think that we're all, again, to look at this moment, this historical sea change moment in Canada, you know, who'd have thought that we would have gotten here, and especially on people power, you know, and the fact that, you know, Alberta at the provincial election, you know, dethroned a 4-decade conservative dynasty government, and at the federal level, you know, the Harper conservative majority government's 11-year rule comes to an end. And, you know, it is a moment to celebrate, and you know, certainly a moment where the Liberal Party of Canada, you know, and their Liberal majority can do the right thing. And so, you know, I think that one thing that we're very clear about, though, is that these are serious times. And so, you know, our action is gentle, but it is also has a very serious undercurrent to it, you know, because we have so much responsibility on our shoulders as Canadians and First Nations contributing to mitigating the global climate crisis and contributing to addressing, you know, all of the discussion happening between Indigenous peoples particularly and Canada's current economic paradigm.
Why is it important to risk arrest?
Well, I think that, you know, power is never given. It's something that, you know, people need to organize collectively and move collectively together to acquire. And, you know, for us, you know, the civil disobedience component has a rich history of facilitating social change and system change, you know, and so for us, we're invoking the spirit of civil disobedience, the spirit of our right to participatory democracy, you know, rights that have been stripped by the Harper government, and rights that need to be repaired and restored by the newly incoming Liberal majority government. And, you know, for us, this is part of the process of delicately, you know, supporting the new government to do the right thing, but also letting them know that the pressure hasn't gone away, that these are very serious circumstances. Climate change is a life and death issue, and certainly the drivers of climate change in places like the Canadian tar sands is a life and death issue for locally affected communities and workers, quite frankly, who, you know, are going to be affected by the fundamental shift that climate science is telling us that we must do in relation to our economic system.
Is there a role for people who don't want to risk arrest but do want to support the action, both in Ottawa and not in Ottawa?
Absolutely. You know, there, you know, in Ottawa, you know, there is a staging area, you know, at the you know, that we'll be staging at. All the information is available at climatechange.ca. If you sign up at the website, you will receive daily updates on logistics. You know, we've been providing online webinars as well for those that have signed up to be a part of the action. And I think it's important to note that we have literally over 1,000 people that have signed up to participate in the civil disobedience component. So, you know, there will be, you know, folks rallying and supporting. There'll be many different roles people can play. Certainly everybody plays a part, you know, with their social media accounts, sharing the information and narrative of frontline community leaders that are fighting against tar sands pipelines like the Keystone XL, Enbridge Northern Gateway, Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline, Energy East, Line 9B. There is so many ways that people can amplify and ratchet up the pressure on the Liberal majority government as they go to Paris so that they have a very strong and clarified position, you know, that is principled and, you know, that is rights-based.
Now, I said at the outset that the Prime Minister usually moves in a few days after he's sworn in, but I understand that Trudeau is planning some renovations to 24 Sussex Drive and may not actually be there for the welcome that you're planning for him. What will you do if he's not there?
Well, I think, you know, we've certainly heard the rumors as well. Of course, you know, everyone needs to recognize the deep and personal history that Prime Minister-elect Trudeau has with 24 Sussex. And I think that for us, you know, it continues to be a very relevant target, the symbolism of 24 Sussex within Canadian identity as the house of the Prime Minister, as the house of Canada, is not going away even if Prime Minister Trudeau is not making his residence in there after the Governor General swears him and his party in. For us, if it's going under renovations, then what a great time for us to lift up the last day of the 4 days of peaceful sit-ins where we will hand deliver a photovoltaic solar array that we hope that the Prime Minister will install on 24 Sussex before he makes his trip to Paris. And so, you know, we feel good about it either way.
A little bit of help with those renovations.
There you go. That's our contribution for sure. And the fact that 24 Sussex doesn't already have solar panels, well, you know, we aim to address that as well.
Thanks so much, Clayton.
Thank you so much. And for daily updates, please check out 350 Canada on Twitter, and please visit our website, climatewelcome.ca.
I've been speaking with Clayton Thomas Mueller. He's Indigenous Extreme Energy Campaigner with 350.org, and you can find out all about the Climate Welcome at their very informative website, and it is, as Clayton said, climatewelcome.ca.